Glad that you're here today. Want to say happy Father's Day to all of our fathers. This weekend kind of started out kind of an incredible way with Father's Day, early Father's Day for me. Went to go see The Incredibles on Friday night with the kids and with Judy. And so it was a good time. Well, Beth was there too. Where is that, Beth? Anyway, so yeah, we had a good time and a pretty good movie. You know, I've heard some people here have also gone to see it. So it's incredible though, isn't it, really, when we think about it. And that's what we're talking about, thinking about VBS coming up. And so this weekend is kind of the first time that we have to sign up to either help out or maybe to sign your kids up to go. As far as signing up your kids, you can either do that in the lobby or you can do it online. Go to our Facebook page, well, probably more so our web page, and there's all the links there, information about it. You can do an online form and then submit that. So we don't really talk about our web page very much. I'm not really doing a commercial within the commercial, but you know, we do have a webpage. It's got a lot of information about what we're doing here, what goes on. There's some of the lessons on there. There's Bible studies on there. There's links on there. And it's very helpful. And then also with the Harmony tool that Ken talked about a few weeks ago, there's also a link on there in case you forget kind of where to go. So all that's on there. So maybe you want to visit there once in a while to see what's going on in case you forget some of the events that are happening. So kind of to follow up with the Father's Day theme, Judy and I are going away for about a week, and so we're leaving this afternoon and going to be gone for about 6 or 7 days. So next week, actually, there's going to be some guest speakers here. I know Phil's speaking in the morning, and Craig's going to be speaking at night, I believe. Is that right, Craig? Yeah, okay, just making sure. We're going to be gone, and of course, to see, you know, Judy's side of the family, we get to see Robert, and we get to see our grandbaby Maya, so that's, that's really nice. Anyway, so that's kind of what we're doing. So kind of doing the, you know, it's not only the fatherly thing now, but it's the grandfatherly thing, so it just means that I'm getting old. So anyway, all right, so, you know, we want to look in the book of Psalms. You know, and where we're at right now is kind of right in the middle of the psalm. So you're familiar with Psalm 119. That's the longest psalm of the Bible. We could read through that, but that would kind of be the end of the lesson, just reading through it. After Psalm 119, you know, this is really not rocket science, comes Psalm 120. Now, Psalm 120 is the beginning of a series of about 14 psalms. So Psalm 120 to 134, as you kind of read through it, it's called the Songs of Ascents. Now, it's really not songs that make sense, because all the psalms make sense. It's not the Songs of Incense. So what does this mean, the Song of Ascents? Well, ascending, you ever tried to ascend, you know, if you're in an airplane, they say, we are now ascending. That means you're going up. Well, where are they going up to? Like, all these psalms are about going up somewhere. Well, what they're doing is they're going up to Jerusalem. And so these psalms were written for primarily the men. Now, back in the book of Exodus, where it talks about the feasts that the people are going to be keeping throughout the generations, in Exodus chapter 23, verse 17, there it says, the men are to go and to keep these holy feasts in Jerusalem. So men from all over the area, some traveling maybe miles, others traveling hundreds of miles to Jerusalem. And when we talk about men, that would include, you know, fathers and grandfathers and some sons that may have been over 12 years old. Like the babies would stay at home with mom. That's just kind of the way they did. Well, this kind of sounds weird. It's not the way we do it today. But, you know, back then, God had called the men to a certain role. And that was to be a leader in the nation. A leader in the temple, a leader in the synagogues, a leader in the home. And so God is saying, we're going to do something special for the men because we don't want them to forget. I'm guessing women remember God a lot more than men. Men seem to forget a lot of things. And they also don't seem to hear a lot of things. Right? So God is saying, I got something for the men. Because I want the men to be leading. I want the men to be paying attention. And so the feasts that they would go up for, we're probably fairly familiar with at least two of them. One was the Passover. One was the Feast of Pentecost. And the other was called the Feast of Booths, which actually they didn't do a whole lot. That was one they seemed to forget. In the days of Nehemiah, they kind of realized, we're supposed to be doing this on an annual basis. But as the men were going up to Jerusalem, ascending, Jerusalem was simply on a higher plane than no matter what direction you're coming to, it's on the hill. Everyone is going up to Jerusalem to worship God, the men and the boys. And so these songs of ascents means that these are things that they would be saying. Maybe they'd be singing. They would be reminding themselves. And then, of course, here it says the ascents, it says of Solomon. And, you know, some people think maybe it was written by David for Solomon. Other people would say it was written by Solomon. And as we go through, you're going to kind of find some things that almost sounds like Ecclesiastes. So maybe it was kind of like Solomon. Maybe it was David that had instructed Solomon, and Solomon put these ideas together in this psalm. But you want to get an idea of what they're talking about as they're going along their way. I don't think these are necessarily written in order, like, you know, we're going to walk 1 mile, and then we stop, and we do, you know, Psalm 120. We'll walk a little bit more, then we're on to Psalm 121. Let me just start, if you're anywhere near there in your Bible or on your app. That sounded cool, didn't it? On your app. All right, but I'm in the Bible. I'm kind of the old school. I don't trust my app. Psalm 120 is the first of these. Let me just read the first verse or two of these psalms. I call on the Lord in my distress, and he answers me. Now, you know, David's had a rough life. So did Solomon. They had some enemies. They had some people that were trying to, you know, take over, and people that speak badly. Psalm 121, you can imagine as they're walking, I mean, could you put yourself in that place? Here we are just walking to worship. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Psalm 122, I rejoice with those who said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing in your gates, O Jerusalem. Psalm 123, I lift my eyes up to you whose throne is in heaven. Psalm 124, if the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side. He goes on to explain what would have happened if the Lord wasn't on our side. 125, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surround his people, both now and forevermore. 126, could you imagine this as they're walking along? And maybe this is even a little bit later on that would come to their mind. Even after the days of being in Babylon, when the Lord brought the captives to Zion, we were like men who dreamed. Oh, we just thinking of what it was like back in the day when we could go and worship. And so here we are in 127. It's kind of following a progression here, trying to figure out what's going along. What are they saying as they're walking down the path, as they're ascending up into the city, through the gates to the temple. So Psalm 127, verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house. Now, again, maybe we're familiar with this. Well, again, we're walking up to... What are we talking about here? Because in the Old Testament, sometimes we talk about the house. The house of David. Remember that? What is that talking about? It's talking about the nation. It's talking about the kingdom. It's talking about God's people. It's talking about God's work in the world. Unless the Lord had built the house. unless he had built the kingdom. And we can't do it ourselves. I mean, we could have all gotten together in the name of somebody else, but there'd be no power. You know, nothing would really get done unless the Lord is with us when we worship. Unless the Lord is with us in our lives, it's got to do with the kingdom. But they're going up to the temple, and you remember, what did they call it? It was the house of the Lord. It was the temple of the Lord. And it was magnificent. You remember Solomon built it? Remember David is the one, he did the plans. He had it all figured out. He was the architect, but he didn't build it. Solomon built it. So as they're walking up to this magnificent temple, and sometimes you can just get caught up in the beauty, in the architecture, in the richness. It was a magnificent, beautiful place where they could worship God. And it's so easy to say, oh, men did this. Wasn't David great when he laid out the plans? And Solomon, he followed them through. And you know, these workers and the skill and the product. Oh, but unless the Lord built it, what does he say? It's all in vain. It doesn't mean anything. Oh, you can look and go, nice job, right? You can make the cover of the Architect magazine, right? People can come and go, whoa. But he's saying, big deal. Means nothing. But you know, he could also be talking about somebody else's house. Could be talking about your house. Like the family. Unless the Lord is in your house, it doesn't matter what else you do. God can, you know, and I know you may be proud of your accomplishments, but God doesn't care that much about your degree. Your 401k, your financial portfolio. He doesn't care so much about square footage, the number of garage bays that you have. He's not that interested in how many vacations in foreign lands you take every year. Quite frankly, he doesn't care what your neighbors think of you or what the guy down the pew thinks of you either. Oh, you can look good in the world's eyes. But unless the Lord builds the house, unless the Lord is there, unless we are following along with what his plan is, what's he saying? It's again, back to the book of Ecclesiastes. It's like dust in the wind. No, that was Kansas, not Ecclesiastes. Anyway, of course, people are like, dust? What is that? In Kansas? Anyway, so you got to be really old to get that one. All right. But unless the Lord builds the house, he's saying it doesn't amount to anything. And we'll get to that in just a minute. What does that mean? Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Jesus said something that may correspond to this, that helps us through it, there in John 15, verse 5. If you remain in me and I remain in you, you will bear much fruit. Now listen to this part. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Well, you know, that doesn't make sense. Because apart from Jesus, I see there's a lot of people doing a lot of good things out there. There's a lot of good people. There's a lot of successful people. There's a lot of people that, you know, have made a name for themselves. There's a lot of people that may even be involved in philanthropy. There may be good-hearted people, kind, gracious, forgiving. There's even people out there that are politically correct, whatever that means. But what does that mean? What Jesus is saying is all of that, you know what it's going to amount to really in the end? Nothing. Because it has no eternal significance. Yeah, you can do a lot of stuff in this world, but it's not going to outlive you. Once, I mean, even if you are really incredible, once you are dead, people are going to forget all about you. It's kind of interesting today that some people are even trying to make a name for themselves based on how much damage they can do. Quite frankly, I don't remember the name of the first guys that did school shootings. Do you remember their names? Think your kids will remember their names? You say, well, they're not worth remembering. But that's the whole point. We won't be remembered. So what does last? Being in Christ, doing things in the strength and the power and in the name of Jesus, they're going to last. That inheritance, those riches, that reward is eternal. So I think that's what he's saying back here in Psalm 127. But he goes on to say this, just to clarify so we don't misunderstand. And again, maybe speaking to guys a little bit, it applies to the women as well. But certainly back in that day, the men were more of the industrious workers and the women were the workers at home. And back then, a lot of times you had perhaps larger families because they didn't have probably a lot of the, what would you call them in front of the little kids? Preventative measures to stop reproduction. Right? It's like, kids, where are they all coming from? How does that, you know? All right, so we got a lot of kids. Women stays home. The man goes out. What does he do? Well, he works hard. And we appreciate our hardworking men. But look what he says. Again, in vain. That's just like the last verse. In vain. You do that in vain. But also in vain. Again, if I could just speak to the men. Because, again, if this is the ascent and it's the men and the boys going, it's the instruction to ourselves as men and boys. We're trying to teach the younger, but we're trying to remind the older what's going on. In vain you rise early and you stay up late, toiling for food to eat. But see, it's God who grants sleep to those he loves. That's the way some people are. They're like, we want to do more. We want to excel. We don't have enough. Now, we certainly, most of us today, we say we have enough that we can live under shelter. We can buy new clothes once in a while at Kohl's. And by the way, you can go online, 40% off today for Father's Day. Anyway, another commercial. Do I get compensated for this? Anyway. So yeah, we're like, okay, we need more, more, more. We've got food, we've got clothes, we've got shelter. We want more and more and more. So what do we got to do? We got to work more. We got to work harder. You know, we got to make sure we get a raise. We got to make sure we get a promotion. We got to make sure that we're climbing the ladder. Right? So we're thinking about this all the time. We're up early in the morning. We stay late at night. And what happens? It's all about the work. It's all about what I can provide. Because by the way, some men, maybe most men, find that appeals to their sense of self-worth. I'm a hard worker. You know, I'm industrious. I'm not going to let the company down. We're going to succeed. There's nothing wrong with having that kind of attitude as long as it's tempered. You know why? Because there's a lot of men that they will go out and give everything they have for the company. And nothing is left for their family. That's what he's saying. He wants to be building a house. The house. That's according to God's plan. Again, so there's this thing called working, but sometimes you can get so consumed in it. And what does he say? All day long. All morning long, all night long, just going and going. You want more and more and more. And the idea is God is the one who grants sleep at night. But even then, we're worried about what I did the previous day. And I'm concerned about what's going to be happening the next day. I can't sleep at night. You know, I've worked so hard. I just lay down and my eyes are just wide open. My mind is racing. My heart is racing. I mean, you talk to your doctor about that. He'd say, that's not good. Right? What's the solution? Solution is saying, I'm going to trust in the Lord. Now, I got to do what I got to do. It's not like, well, we'll just stay at home all day long and we'll pray, God, provide. Well, no, God is saying, I've provided for you, but I've provided opportunity. I've provided so you can work, but don't go to the extreme where you think, you know, it's all dependent upon me. I just got to work harder. I got to work longer. No, I got to say, I'm going to do what I've been called to do at work. But I got to realize I've been called to the home. I've been called to be beside my wife and to raise my children. Well, speaking of children, he's eventually going to get to that. Sons are an heritage from the Lord, and children are a reward from Him, which is much different than the way a lot of people today see children, right? You know, children take away from my opportunity to make more money, to take extended vacations. The children take away from my peace of mind. I just want to make sure there's no children here, but sometimes children can be a lot of work, right? Nah, frustration. No. I mean, kids know, because it's like their parents are just as frustrating to them as they are, you know. It works both ways, right? Especially in the BEM home. I'm just kidding. I just see them poking each other. Yep. But yeah, this is the way it works. It's a struggle sometimes. So my peace and happiness is no kids. But God is saying, no, they're a blessing from God. They're actually going to be a heritage. A heritage. They are a gift from God. So the idea is, well, how would you treat that? Like, heritage could almost literally be inheritance. It's something now you're going to pass along. Especially if you're a godly person, you can pass along your morals and your values and your faith and your relationship with God. You can start teaching and training and showing and modeling. You can show your children what a godly husband looks like and a godly wife and how they work together. You can show your children how a godly parent, because, you know, it's something to train the next generation. Because basically, if ungodly people don't have children that they teach and train for the next generation, well, what do you think is going to happen in the next generation? Well, the next generation will be filled with ungodly children who've grown up in ungodly homes and never really been taught anything about the Lord. Well, where's that going to lead society? So we're actually doing something that would help. I heard some guy this week, he was speaking on this issue, and he was somebody who also believed in church growth by generation, not regeneration. In other words, you know, you have a lot of kids. Apparently, he had like 10 kids. And I guess his idea is, he kind of said, you know, if my children kind of follow my example, I mean, think about that, grandparents. 100 grandkids by the time you're like 60. Them's are a lot of birthdays. Yeah, you're going to need to keep working at Walmart. Right? But then think about that. I mean, you could actually be in your 80s and 90s, and between your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, you could be up to 700 or 800 immediate blood relatives. That's a lot, right? But think about that, young families. I can say that because I'm older. It's kind of like I'm beyond those years. So we'll limit you at 10. We'll cut you off then, but if you have 10 kids. But this is the idea. It's an heritage from, if you're going to be passing along something, that's going to be of value. And you're going to make society, you're going to make the culture, you're going to make the community a better place to live. Because there's godly people. So children are a reward from God. They're not a detriment. They're not a negative. They're not a problem. They're a reward. A reward. But he goes on to explain, well, how this works. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior, are sons born in one's youth. That's kind of an interesting concept. I don't know. Have you ever compared your children to an arrow? Oh, well, there's a warrior. What's the warrior's job? Warrior's job is maybe to defend the city. Maybe it is actually to go out to battle to defeat the enemy. Right? So again, Sunday evenings we've been going through Ephesians chapter 6, talking about a spiritual war that's going on between good and evil, heaven and hell, God and Satan, spiritual battle, spiritual victory that's given to us through Christ, but there's a spiritual battle. So sons are like an arrow in the hands of a warrior, a soldier. Well, that's kind of interesting because what does a warrior have to do? I don't know. If you're a good warrior, I mean, you can maybe think about Robin Hood right now. Not he's a good warrior, but he's pretty good with a bow and arrow. A warrior is probably going to want to select his own arrows. It's kind of like a guy who parachutes. He may want to pack his own pack, right? I mean, you don't want to get up there and you pull the string and go, oh, I guess he just didn't do it right. Right? You want to make sure it's done right, because you're in battle. If your arrows aren't working too well, if they're not flying straight, you're in trouble. So you're very careful about how you select your arrows, how you make your arrows, how you construct your arrows, because you know that eventually, here it comes, the warrior is going to have to release the arrow. Now releasing, you know, we all know that releasing the arrow is hard. You know, when that child is getting ready to leave the home. Contrary to what some people think, especially the kids, that the parents are really happy, they're not. Now they're a little happy, but they're not really happy. There's something about it of saying, my child, my baby, my beloved is leaving the home. They've got to go out on their own. So the question is, what have we done to prepare the arrow so that we can launch it? You want your arrow to be straight. You want your arrow to be sharp. You want your arrow to be able to fly. That's what arrows are for. But that takes a lot of training, a lot of practice, a lot of molding, a lot of shaping. And by the way, if you are shooting an arrow, I've never been hunting with an arrow. Actually, I've never been hunting with a BB gun, so, you know, I'm not a hunter. But I could imagine when you're bow hunting, the closer the animal is to you, the better chance you have of actually getting what you want. Does that make sense? So what does that mean? If we want our children to launch in the right direction, we got to have a relationship. We've got to be close. We can't do it from a distance. We can't say, well, you know, man, and sometimes men can be like that. Well, my job is to bring the money home. And certainly I appreciate the men who do that and sacrifice for the family. But if you're only doing it so your family can buy, you know, your fourth 96-inch flat-screen TV for the home, see, it's not necessary. There's better choices to make. But I know there has been time where you almost have to work two jobs just to pay the minimum bills. I understand that. But if you think my only job is to supply financially, materially for my family, you've missed it. From God's point of view, He's saying it's your job. We're walking up to Jerusalem. We're going to worship God. And here the older men are saying to everybody else, let's remind the older men, but let's instruct the younger men. You know, we got a job here. Because children are like the arrow in the hands of the warrior. Okay, blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. All right, so again, the more arrows you have, the more influence you'll have on society. The more strength you will have. You know, so again, sometimes we think our strength comes from finances, but this is saying strength comes from relationship. Strength comes from family. And that's where the value is, even reading through the Psalms. But how does that work? What's he really talking about here? This is what he says. This is the last verse, by the way. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gate. Now, we can think about this physically. Again, back then, the cities had walls around them. They had a gate where people would come in and out. And so when attackers would come, I mean, there would be a watchman there, you know, making sure that everything was safe. If the enemies approached, they'd call for backup. They'd sound the trumpet. But then you got some people that need to come and oppose the enemies. You don't want to let the opponents inside the city gates. Once they get inside, it's really too late. This is what the warriors do. This is what this man's sons do. They oppose evil. They oppose Satan. We're not talking about a physical gate around our church building. Although it's good to have some security, a sense of security, even when you're in the church building. But he's talking about your house. Now again, he's not talking about, well, do you have a good alarm system on the home? Do you have, a Rottweiler, you know, at the front door? That's helpful to keep your home safe. But what about your family? What do we let into our homes? How does the devil get in our homes? Oh, he can come in a lot of different ways. He can come in through friends. Maybe it's your friends. Maybe it's your kids' friends. Certainly he can come in through the television and the music and the internet. Is anybody guarding the gate? I think that's where fathers step up. So we got to guard the gate. And I got to teach my kids how to guard the gate so when they grow up, they can guard their own gate. They're going to have their own home. They're going to have their own kids one day. Got to guard the gate. But on the other hand, sometimes, you know, some translations don't really make it sound like it's going to be a war. Maybe it's going to be a conversation. Maybe there's some people at the city gate that are discussing some issues. Because also at the city gate is where there was a lot of judicial matters, a lot of political matters, and even a lot of religious matters that needed to, we need to make some decisions here. But then it's your kids. It's your kids that are going to come to the city gate and say, let's talk about this. Let's talk about what's right, what's honorable, what's moral, what's biblical. Let's talk about what God's will is. Let's talk about what's important. Let's make a good decision here. Because bad decisions have lifelong consequences. Good decisions also have lifelong consequences. Could your kids be at the city gate helping to make better, wiser, more helpful decisions, not only for your family, but for the community? That's where we need kids that can grow up and be careful and watch and protect the gate of the church. Not the church building, the church. It's a big responsibility, isn't it? That's what they're talking about when they're going up to the city to worship. The men and the boys. This is what God's calling us to be. This is what God's calling us to do. God's calling us to lead our community. Lead in the kingdom. Lead in the family. It's God's plan. So we're thankful that we got a lot of guys in the church here that are this kind of leader. That they take their responsibility seriously and they lead their family. Now, kids, anybody here have a perfect dad? Right, yeah, we don't. Yeah, they make mistakes. But that's what we're calling godly men to be the leaders God's called them to. Well, we're going to sing a song of encouragement for those people that would like to follow the leadership of Christ as he leads us. Again, we've been talking about not to success, not to affluence materially, but to success and affluence and blessing that comes from the Lord. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above, James chapter 1. It's all from God. He blesses us. If we can encourage you today, maybe in your relationship with Christ, maybe you don't have a relationship with God through Christ today. And today we always want to make that available. An opportunity for you to say, I want to be in his kingdom. I want to be in his family. I want to follow his leadership. I'm going to submit my life to Christ. Because he's leading me to heaven. So if today you even want to be baptized into Christ so that your sins can be forgiven, you can be born again. If we can pray with you, if we can encourage you, again, just want to say that we thank all of our men that are husbands and that are fathers and the younger ones, maybe that are husbands and fathers to be, not even there yet. But we pray for you and we want to encourage you. Let's stand, we'll sing this song, and let us know if we can be a blessing.